Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the largest segment of society, to those who, like me, have come to realize that all of the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, even counterproductive. I'm Yana. Our number, if you would like to join us anytime over the next 2 hours, 877-300-7645. The star of not only Chinese state TV's most broadly watched show, but the most broadly watched television show in the world, was taken off the air. His crime was doing a video unrelated to his program where he changed the lyrics of a song to indicate that Mao Zedong created a harsh environment for Chinese. And so by stating a conclusion that is irrefutable, in fact, in his private life, the most popular anchor on the most popular television show in the world was censured. And that's because Mao Zedong is not just a political figure. He's not just a cult figure. He's a religious icon in China. I went to China the first time. In fact, I was in the first group of people that went to China after Richard Nixon lifted the embargo on Americans visiting China. It was kind of like, what Cuba had been, that it was illegal to go there. It was illegal for an American to go to China. And Richard Nixon lifted the embargo, and I was in a small group of people that were the first Westerners, first Americans, into China. There were places where, for example, we'd walk down the streets in Shanghai, and our arrival had been announced in advance. And there would be millions of people lining the streets, hanging out of buildings, on top of buildings, along the sidewalks, just to get a glimpse of what a Westerner looked like. And during that trip, one of the things that struck me was how the Communist Party in China, realizing that man is a religious animal, had turned Mao Zedong and, to a lesser degree, Lenin and Marx into gods. They had chiseled their likeness in stone. They had created, literally, chiseled impressions of them and posters. You know, just a photograph was never enough. With Lenin, with Marx, with Mao, these men had to be first made much larger than life. Their bust would be 50 feet tall. Their statues, five times the size of a normal man. And their features were all made to look divine, regal. Their facial features, too, always presented as stern. Sometimes a blend between fatherly and the kind of God that Christianity paints, where God is to be feared, you know, fear the Lord, that kind of thing. It was always a blend of those two things. And whatever saying that Lenin, Marx, or Mao had written were not only turned into scripture books that were handed out to children, memorized by children, celebrated by children, their sayings were always plastered on every possible billboard and building and sign, and it became a religion based upon these men replacing God. It's why it was so obvious to me as I was traveling, and I took another trip through the Soviet Union during the same time. It's when it became obvious to me that socialist secular humanism, that communism, that Hitler's view of fascism, Nazism, they were religions. They had their own gods. Their gods just happened to be modeled into caricatures of men. And men were elevated to godlike status, given godlike features, godlike statues, godlike posters, godlike sayings, scripture. Not unlike the Grand Ayatollah Khomeini, whose little green book became Shiite scripture. And so, as you see these kinds of things, you realize that religions don't necessarily have to have an actual God, so long as those religions have a moral standard, they have doctrine, they have someone to be worshipped, they have scripture to be considered infallible. So long as they have those things, they can exist as a control mechanism for people. Just as Hitler used Mein Kampf as the people's religion to replace Christianity in Germany, knowing that man was a religious people, animal, and the only way to effectively control humankind was through a religion. Today, the national religion of America is socialist secular humanism. If you don't express the views of socialist secular humanism in America, you'll be censured. If you're an academic, you'll be punished. If you're in academics, truth doesn't matter. Accuracy doesn't matter. What matters is, are you articulating the common deception? Are you indoctrinating in harmony with the doctrine? That's what matters. Well, this man in China, he was taken off the air because there was a video of him taking a popular Chinese song and him saying, you know, Mao, we've had enough harassment. Oh, my goodness. 40 million Chinese starved to death because this man imposed an economic system that was devastating, because he stole their land, because he stole their businesses, because he stole their property, and because there was no incentive, Chinese died by the tens of millions. And anyone who protested and said, this is insanity, they were tortured and killed. Now, in Russia, when Lenin began that kind of campaign, and then Stalin exacerbated it, and when they saw to it that 40 million Russians, just like the Chinese, were either imprisoned and worked to death or starved to death, the same thing occurred in Russia, where collectivization, communism, stealing people's land, their property, their farms, their incentive, their will, particularly their free will, was so devastating that these men, who would not allow anyone to criticize them, well, in Russia, they realized that Stalin was a monster. In China, the Communist Party still reigns. And so the deception, the delusion, is still supreme among them. And while some of the big portraits of Mao have been taken down because, the world realized he was a rotten scoundrel, you can't criticize him in China. And by the way, that's what's being set up in America. The positioning of terror and homeland security to prevent the onslaught of terror was deliberately disassociated from Islam and associated with a myth called radical extremism or violent extremism for a specific purpose, and that was to label anyone who was critical of any national institution, including the national leaders that spoke out against those like the Abominator, political leaders on both sides of the aisle. It was specifically done so that those who would speak out against the harsh conditions being imposed, the deprivations of freedom being mandated, the collectivization of this society, the robbing of people of their property, their incentive, their will, that those who would speak out against such things could be labeled extremists. And then the government could falsely associate violent intent associated with those extremists and silence them, just as this man has been silenced in China. All he did was change the lyrics to say, "We've suffered enough," calling Mao that old son of a bee. Man, can you imagine? I mean, this man imposed a draconian change, positioning himself as God over his people. And in the first 10 years of his transition into power, 40 million people were either worked to death, murdered savagely, or starved to death. And you can't criticize that big a scumbag or that kind of human institution and call it rotten to the core. I mean, if you were an extreme liberal today, all you need to do is look at what happened in Nazi Germany, which was a socialist workers' party, in the USSR, and in Red China, in the first 20 or so years after their formation, where collectively over 100 million people were murdered by the state, worked to death by the state, or starved to death by the state. That's the problem, is that man is inherently evil. He is corrupt. And the more power individuals are given, the more they demonstrate the worst in human nature. Power corrupts. And you're already starting with a very flawed entity in humankind. But you know, China's not alone. We're going to return to a story in America. There have been calls for a teacher who handed out what's being called, and not in quotes, anti-Muslim propaganda during lessons to be disciplined. An unnamed teacher at Foster High School in Richmond, Texas, allegedly gave his students anti-Muslim propaganda during class. Now, it wasn't anti-Muslim literature, unless you consider facts about Islam anti-Islam. Now, I do, but you can't call it anti-Islam literature if what you're doing is presenting facts. If I were to tell you that the Nazis put 12 million people in concentration camps who they ultimately killed, 6 million of whom were Jews, that's just a fact. If I were to tell you that Mao Zedong and his imposition of communism on China and robbing people of their property, their possessions, and their will, their free will, led to the deaths of 30 to 40 million people, it's not propaganda. It's not anti-Mao literature. It's a statement of fact. Same thing would be true with Lenin and Stalin. These are just statements of fact. They're not propaganda. Yeah, this notion that you can't say something because it's hurtful to a group of people who have been deceived is the problem that we're facing today with political correctness. The truth is never an alibi anymore. The only thing that you can claim as it relates to education and speech that will venerate you with the politically correct establishment, those who mandate in all of our national institutions, education, the media, and politics, that everybody abide by their religion, is that you have to say what they want you to say. Even though what they want you to say is not true, it's factually invalid, it's rationally ridiculous. But here's a individual, I've read what they handed out. What they handed out is absolutely accurate. It's just a statement of, it's an assessment of facts about Islam. So, you can't do that. Not in a school district. The 8-page handout entitled Islam/Radical Islam, Did You Know? Included references to terrorism and beheadings. Yeah? 99% of the terrorism perpetrated in our world today is perpetrated by Muslims. It's inspired by the Islamic religion. Muhammad said, I have become victorious with terror. Allah claims to be a terrorist. Muhammad claimed to be a terrorist. So those are connections. Those are all statements of fact. Those are all connections. I would say the number is also in the 99 percentile of beheadings, of decapitations being perpetrated by Muslims. Those are the kind of connections, though, that a rational and informed individual makes so that they understand. But you can't do that, you see, in political correctness. And this journalist who wrote this story wasn't smart enough to say, well, of course they associated Islam with terrorism and beheadings, because Islam is responsible for 99% of the world's terrorism today, and they're responsible for an equal high percentage of beheadings, and that's statistically important. It's relevant. When 20% of the world's population is responsible for 99% of the world's bad behavior relative to terrorism and beheadings, you could also throw in suicide bombings. You could probably throw in the slave trade, enslavement of others. And you're all going to be in that 90, 95 to 99 percentile. That is statistically relevant. Lamar Consolidated Independent School District has admitted that it wasn't approved by administrators. Duh, you see, that's the deal. The administrators are steeped in political correctness. The fact that it was accurate didn't mean it was approved. To be approved, it has to say what political correctness wants to say. And political correctness has embraced Islam, even though Islam is ruthless towards women. Even though in America, political correctness would elevate women above men, and it would elevate homosexuality above heterosexuality, Islam is the opposite of that, is still endorsed by these morons. The truth is being called anti-Islam propaganda, so it's being labeled as hate speech, even though it is accurate. The statements on it are, I mean, the ones that I saw, I didn't read the whole thing, I don't have a copy of the whole thing, but there's a picture of it, and that showed the like half of the first page, and everything is half of the first page is completely accurate. And the reason it wasn't approved is not because it was inaccurate, not because it's not relevant, but because it's inconsistent with the lie that is promoted as part of socialist secular humanism. You know, the old coexist, that's the socialist secular humanist sign that I'm really stupid. Coexist. And they have all the signs of all the religions, that, and they stand above it as the enlightened person telling all these other people they ought to think the same way they do and behave the same way they do it, and all just get along, not recognizing that communism, when it's empowered, led to the death of 100 million people in the last 100 years. And that Islam is responsible for 99% of terrorist acts. And then when Christianity was empowered through Roman Catholicism, they implemented the Lord Serf feudal system that was so devastating to the masses and gave nobody any rights, no free will, no ownership of anything for many, many centuries. They put the stupid coexist bumper sticker on, not even recognizing that their own doctrine, which would be socialism, is opposed to religion. And that Mao Zedong and also Stalin and Lenin persecuted anyone who sought to be religious. It was illegal. So their own mantra won't tolerate the ones they're saying to coexist with. It's just Neanderthal. It's so Neanderthals. I don't want to demean them, to associate them with the idiocy of the liberal mindset today, with the idiocy of the coexist mentality of academia's approval. Academia will approve something if it is politically correct, even if, and usually is the case, that what they're approving is incorrect. And they will invalidate that which is correct because it's not politically correct. This is no different than the Roman Catholic Church and the Inquisition. It's no different than what Mao Zedong and Stalin did with their concentration camps and the re-education camps. It's no different. Same mentality. And because political correctness is becoming so pervasive in America, this is what you're going to expect. A Muslim student showed the document to her parents, who contacted the Council on American Islamic Relations, and they complained to the school. Why didn't the Council on Islamic Relations, or why didn't the parent, just say, you know, this is true about our religion. Maybe there's something wrong with our religion. Maybe we should be Muslim anymore. After all, we are responsible for 99% of terrorist acts. After all, we're responsible for 99% of beheadings. After all, we treat women as if they were animals and give them no rights. After all, we're responsible for most of the slave trade in the world today. After all, the lone founder of our religion was a slave trader, a terrorist, a womanizer, a pedophile, a rapist. And therefore, maybe we should not associate with such scum. But no, the parents went to the Council on American Islamic Relations. And rather than them telling the school, oh, this is all accurate, no, they complained. You have to lie about our religion. And if you don't lie about our religion, we're going to complain. The teacher at the Houston area high school is facing disciplinary proceedings for allegedly giving the students anti-Muslim propaganda during class. The officials say that the references to terrorism and beheadings were not approved, and the handout entitled Islam, Radical Islam, Did You Know? Made unsubstantiated claims like 38% of Muslims believe that people that leave the faith should be executed. You know, I don't know what percentage of Muslims believe that. I do know that there have been lots of polls taken of Muslims on that topic. And every poll that I have seen taken on that topic shows between 40 and 70% of Muslims who will say that. But it isn't relevant. What's relevant is what the Quran says. The Quran says that any Muslim who leaves Islam must be killed. That's not unsubstantiated. Read the Quran. It's in the fourth surah. The fourth surah of the Quran tells Muslims, says emphatically, that if a Muslim leaves Islam, they must be killed. Period. So the statement ought to have been, did you know that the Quran tells Muslims to kill anyone who leaves Islam? Statement of fact. Now, the fact that you could then report that the polls that have been taken, and these polls are substantiated, they're not unsubstantiated, as to how many Muslims are aware that the Quran says that and concur with the Quran's point of view, you can share that. But is it really relevant? You know, if the Quran tells Muslims to fight jihad with all manners of weapons and lay in wait and ambush non-Muslims until the whole world surrenders to Islam, why would you take a poll to say how many Muslims agree with that? Islam is dictatorial. Islam is not free will. Islam is not about a Muslim saying, this is what I think that religion ought to be. Islam is laid out unequivocally in the Quran and Hadith by Muhammad's Sunnah, his example. It isn't open to somebody saying, well, that's not what jihad means to me. Like there's buses in Seattle now that have on the side of them, they say, in really pretty colors and scripts, well, my jihad is reaching across the aisle. What's yours? And yet the Quran defines jihad as fighting to the death, to kill others with all manner of weapons. If you're going to reach across the aisle, according to the Quran's definition of jihad, is going to be holding a gun and pulling the trigger. But you see, one thing is politically correct. And it's a public transport system. So they put the lie, promote the lie, because it's politically correct. But if you wanted to say the truth, if you wanted to quote the Quran, if this actually quoted the Quran, no, you can't do that. Not according to political correctness. It said there are an estimated 190 to 300 million radical Islam followers. Well, that number is stupidly low. Every time there has been a vote in the Islamic world, what happened is what happened in Egypt. It's what happens in Turkey. It's what happened in the West Bank and Gaza. Every time there is a vote in the Islamic world, it's like what happened in Tunisia. What happened in Tunisia? The Ennahda Party won. They were the most fundamentalist Islamic party that ran in that election. What happened in Egypt? The Salaf and Muslim Brotherhood parties collectively got 75% of the vote. What happens in Turkey? Erdogan's fundamentalist Islamic party wins about 80% of the vote. In the West Bank and Gaza, Hamas won 70% of the vote. The PLO garnered the remaining 30. Everywhere Muslims vote, they vote for the most fundamentalist Muslim. And so the fundamentalist Islam that is responsible for terrorism is actually, according to every action we can witness, you look at what happened when they voted in Iraq. They voted to empower Iranian mullahs and their candidates. So, what we know is that the overwhelming preponderance of Muslims are fundamentalists. A fundamentalist Muslim is a terrorist. So the number is not 190 to 300 million. The number is much higher than that. It's 1.3 to 1.5 billion Muslims on the planet. And when Muslims are given the opportunity to express their Islam, their devotion to fundamentalism, and fundamentalism requires a Muslim to be a terrorist. You cannot be a good Muslim according to the Quran and not be a terrorist. Therefore, when you vote that you are a good Muslim, that you're a fundamentalist Muslim, when you vote for the candidate that's in favor of Sharia law, then you are a terrorist. All there is to it. And that's the majority. Let's just use 1.2 million Muslims, which is the lowest estimate. And let's use their vote totals in the lowest approval rating the fundamentalists get, which is about 60%. What are you doing? 700 million? Twice the number of the highest estimate on this sheet. Now, you can say there is an estimated 190 to 300 million radical Islam followers with radical Islam meaning prone to terrorism and be accurate, because that's half the number that are actually fundamentalists. The handout also mentions Sharia law, jihad, and a section entitled, "If Taken Action by Radical Islamists, What Do You Do?" Now, why not mention, if you're going to talk about Islam, how could you not mention Sharia law? It's draconian. It's sexist. It's violent. It's depraved. It's reprehensible. Because it's based on the words and deeds of the most depraved, perverted, and reprehensible man who ever lived, Muhammad. How could you speak of Islam and not speak of jihad when that is its signature move? When the Quran, when the Hadith, when Muhammad not only proclaimed jihad, the Quran says that a Muslim, if you do not engage in jihad, you cease to be a Muslim, you become a hypocrite. And then he orders good Muslims to kill you. You cannot be a Muslim and not be engaged in jihad. There is no way to distinguish between the two. Welcome back to Shattering This. Yes, the Council on Foreign Relations, on Islamic, American Islamic Relations, CARE, on American Islamic Relations, which only cares about one thing, which is the promotion of Islam. And they know the truth about Islam. I've debated the head of CARE. He knows the truth. It's just that Islam is, the power that Islam provides is based on people continuing to promote the lie. That's the same thing with Roman Catholicism. Their power is based upon continuing to promote the lie and to demean people who would expose the truth. Mormonism is the same thing. Communism, really, same thing. And so their intent wasn't to convey the truth about Islam. It was to continue to use the stupidity, the irrational nature of political correctness, the national religion of academia in America, to preclude the truth being known and to promote the lie that is embraced by socialist secular humanists. And what's so amazing is the socialist secular humanist is a huge advocate of homosexuality. They're a huge advocate of preventing all forms of sexual discrimination. And yet Islam treats women worse than Americans treat their pets. That in Islam, a woman has no rights. That in Islam, if a woman is raped, she will go to jail. She will be flogged. So you have a group of people who advocate, demand equal rights for women, and they advocate and lie on behalf of a religion that is just amazingly devastating towards women. This is the religion that you have 250 million little girls worldwide who've had their genitals mutilated. No, not little boys that have been castrated, but little girls that have had their genitals mutilated. And yet they endorse this religion. Yet they won't tell the truth about that religion. They claim that homosexuality is a cause célèbre, and yet in Islam, homosexuality is prosecuted by a death sentence. They claim to be tolerant, and yet there's no dogma in all of human history that has been as intolerant as Islam. I mean, for someone who is politically correct to do what they're doing, which is to elevate and promote lies regarding Islam, when Islam stands for everything that they oppose, just shows you how irrational you have to be a socialist secular humanist. The enlightened, as they would view themselves, are stumbling in the dark council also called for the teacher to be disciplined. We're disappointed to learn that one teacher made an independent change to the lesson plan. Yeah, he wanted to tell the truth, resulting in information being given that didn't follow subject matter or state and local curriculum plans, said the Lamar School District spokesperson. No, truth wasn't an alibi. Relevancy. I mean, the number one problem on earth today is terrorism and war. And all but one war and virtually every act of terrorism is perpetrated by the same doctrine, Islam. You can't tell that. You can't teach that. You can't talk about how Islam is intolerant in Sharia, how Islam won't allow anybody to accept any other religion, how it's so depraved in terms of its treatment of women, how it is designed to punish the rape victim as opposed to the rapist, how it approves kidnapping, how it approves the slave trade, how it's all endorsed by the Quran itself. You can't teach that Muhammad was a pedophile and a rapist and a terrorist. You can't provide young minds with the information they need to be rational, but instead you have to indoctrinate them? God, what's wrong with us and our educational institutions?